Did we get handouts? Everybody get a handout, okay? Make sure we got those out. Can I get this here? All right. Let's stand together for 1 second, and we'll read the verses on the sheet, and then we'll pray and let you be seated, all right? Appreciate you coming in on a Thursday night. I know how it is. Many of you get home from work, and you got to just rush straight here. Some of you maybe just you get home and just barely have time to grab something to eat and show up, and some of you, you know, you come maybe a couple minutes late because that's all you can do to get here at that time. And we thank you for that. And so we'll get going here. And thank you for being here. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. We've been talking about the church, and we've been talking about relationships in the church. Let's read Ephesians chapter 3. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray. Father, thank you now for this time we have. Bless our few minutes here as we look at the church. We look specifically at relationships one with another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, the verses here we've looked at before in Ephesians, we understand God wants glory in the church through our lives. And verses state, he gives us his Spirit and strengthens us and does more than we could ever imagine. But as what we've specifically been looking at for the last few weeks is our relationships in the church. Most people several reasons people leave the church. Most don't leave because of doctrine. They come in and they like the church. They like what's going on here. They'll usually stick, and that's usually settled up front. Sometimes people leave the church because their relationship with God starts to waver. But another issue, sometimes people leave because there's personality conflicts. There are conflicts in the church. By the way, if you have people, you have conflicts. This is all there is to it, all right? So I wish we never had conflicts in the church. Then let's have drive-by church. Y'all just come in here. We won't even fix the parking lot. We'll just leave one thing. We'll put a little hole here. You could drop off your tithe. We'll give you a CD message to listen to. You go on your way, and everybody will be happy, all right? Doesn't work that way. But we need to learn to get along with each other. By the way, people aren't just in church. They're at your work. They're in your family. They're everywhere you go. So we need to learn how to get along with one another. 1 John chapter 14, that one is, that's an extra one there. Verse 20 and 21 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now, he's probably not lying about the fact that he hates his brother, okay? He's lying about the fact that he says he loves God. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So relationships are important, and there are no more important place for them to be played out than in the church, okay? Churches are divided. Churches, look, as I mentioned before in one of the other messages on Sunday, opposition from outside does not hurt the church. It can be frustrating. It can be a point of contention. Doesn't hurt the church. It'll have a tendency to rally the church. But conflict on the inside, that's where the church goes down. When Nehemiah was building the wall, and we referenced that on Sunday morning, when Nehemiah was building the wall, they had some outside opposition that really didn't bother them. The problem that was bothered them is when some of the brethren started taking advantage of one another and caused some conflict. So it's always inwardly. We're looking at the verses. A key phrase in the New Testament regarding our relationships is the phrase one another. The last couple of weeks we've looked at loving one another, serving one another, don't judge one another, warning one another, bearing one another, and then enduring one another. That one didn't sound very good. Enduring. Okay, trip to the dentist. Like, go to church, it's like a trip to the dentist. No, that's putting up with each other. Now let's look at some new ones. Number 7. This one is vital. Forgive one another. Forgive one another. You have to. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. What's the basis of our forgiveness? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God forgave us of all of our sins because of what Jesus Christ did. If he can forgive us, we're supposed to forgive others. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, when we talked last week about enduring one another, putting up with one another, really, forgiveness, in a lot of cases, can be the fuel to that. Okay? Being able to just do it. But we need to forgive. What is forgiving? Forgiving is pardoning. When you forgive somebody, whatever it is they did, you do not hold that against them anymore. That's forgiving. By the way, there'll be a time when we want someone to forgive us. Now, I realize all the people of our church are perfect. I get that. Okay, you're not. But there'll be a time when you do something, it's like, I didn't mean it, it just came out, and you want someone to forgive you. Well, we must be forgiving also. It's a fact in life that people will have disputes. Okay? They don't see eye to eye on something. You know, this thinks that and this thinks that. By the way, churches have had issues over some of the, I'm trying to say kind things, some of the most goofy things. They get committees. You know, what color are we going to do the carpet? You know what color we're going to do the carpet? A color that's not goofy and we get a good price on it. By the way, praise report. We got Tim found at Habitat for Humanity, he found 2 pallets of carpet squares for $500. And we're going to be redoing these hallways, okay? Now, I haven't complained about the carpets because we've been working on the new building and we weren't going to replace them, so I didn't want to bring it to your attention. But every time I walk down the hallway, I stress. I can't stand those carpets. You say, well, what color carpets did we get on the pallet? You know what? We got a good color at a good price. That's what we got. We're not going to have a committee. And by the way, you're more than welcome to pick whatever color carpet you want if you're buying it and it's not goofy, all right? So, but... Our church is great at stuff like that. Do you understand? That happens. People would argue about what color the flowers are. We don't even bother with flowers, okay? We ain't got time for that. But people dispute over the goofiest little things. They have disagreements. Say, what's a disagreement? It's a nice way to say they fight. People, you're going to be wronged by somebody. Somebody's going to do you wrong. And heaven forbid, you might even be criticized. Now, it's not criticism, it's a prayer request. Someone's sharing a prayer request about you to somebody else. So be thankful they're praying for you. But whenever something like that happens with a Christian brother, it's in that instant that your Christianity is going to be put to the test. Will you forgive them? If they're for your forgiveness, some people, you know, there's a little dispute, you go to them, and it's worked out. They're all for getting the thing fixed. If they don't ask for it, what if someone does something to you, and really they need to come to you to forgiveness, and they're not going to do it? You know what you do in your heart? You let it go. You let it go. And we're going to explain why you need to do that in a minute. If they don't realize they need to ask for it, sometimes people think, you know, I didn't realize, you know, something happens and we hold a grudge and we don't realize, and they don't realize what they did. By the way, don't hold grudges. Okay? Just let it go. There's a time to get together and work it out. There are other times it's just like they don't know what's going on. And it's in your heart. Let God just work in you to let it go and forgive them in your heart. Now don't do this. Somebody does something and they don't know they offended you. Don't go up to them and say, I want to let you know I forgive you. They're like, for what? No, you're forgiven. Okay, you know what you're going to have now? Now you're going to have another fight you have to get over, all right? You don't need to bring up everything if they don't know. Look at the verses there in Genesis. Joseph is a perfect example of forgiveness. Now, there's a reason why many of us would never be written of in the Bible, because I don't know if I could have done what Joseph did. I think when he put him in jail, I might have just left him there for a while, okay? I would have prayed for him, but I left him in jail. I don't know. I'm not Joseph. Look at Genesis. This is after his dad dies. You know, everything was smooth, and Joseph's like, hey, you know, it's okay. It's not a problem. God, it's all been worked out. Dad's here. The family's here. I'll take care of you. It's fine. And then dad dies, and these guys are like, okay, dad's no longer here. Is this the time Joseph is going to take vengeance? Verse 18, his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. They figured they'd be preemptive. Let me get to Joseph before he gets to us. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? By the way, let me answer that. No, neither are you. When we choose to hold something against somebody, when we choose not to forgive them, what we're doing is we're putting ourselves in the place of God. We don't want to do that. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph had enough spirituality to see how God used this situation to save, you know, really, they saved everybody in Egypt. They saved his family. So God had used that providentially. And Joseph recognized that, although it was not pleasant how he got there. Now, therefore, fear you not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto him. Now look at that verse. That's amazing. He could have said, listen, dad's dead. I forgive you. Everything's fine. Now go take care of yourself. Not going to do anything. I'm not going to retaliate. We're done with it. Go. But look what he said. He went beyond that. I'll nourish you. I'm going to take care of you. I want to make sure that everything's good for you and your family and your little ones. And he comforted them. They were kind of concerned and like, hey, our relationship is strong here. It's okay. I care about you guys. And he spake kindly unto them. Okay, that's forgiveness. That only can come from a heart of somebody who has forgiven somebody else. It doesn't mean this, though. It doesn't mean we let someone keep hurting us. Okay? It never means that. Somebody, look, if someone did something to me, if someone ripped me off, I'd forgive them and I would suffer the loss, but you are not ripping me off again, okay? It ain't happening. People think church is spelled ATM. They come by church all the time and want money and we'll listen to their story. And it's like, we like to help people. We don't like to be ripped off. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean like, well, I forgive them. They keep inflicting. No, you don't let them inflict pain. And sometimes, and not very rarely, but you have some horrific case where somebody may have done something to somebody in a way that was illegal or immoral. In your heart, you need to forgive them. That doesn't mean you don't call 911. So here's a husband that beats his wife. She needs to forgive him, but she needs to have him arrested. Okay? It doesn't mean you just let him keep beating. That's not love. And I have no respect for things like that. But you got to forgive people. What happens if you don't forgive is this. Bitterness creeps into your heart. And let me say this about bitterness. Let's pick somebody here. How you doing, Brother G? I'm going to pick you. I'm upset with Brother Garcia. Fact of the matter, I am. Raider fan? How's the work release program? Good? All right, thanks. I'm upset with Brother Garcia. And I'm like, no, I'm good with everybody else, but I'll never forgive that guy. And I harbor it in my heart, and I dwell on it, or as the kids that are marinating, you know, I'm consumed with him because of what he did, and I'm never going to forgive him. Bitterness creeps into my heart, and that'll pollute every single relationship I have. It's easier the second time not to forgive somebody. It's easier the next time to get irritated. Bitterness. Bitterness only hurts the person who's bitter. I'm bitter against Brother Garcia. He goes home and sleeps at night, and I'm sitting up like, ugh. Someone has said, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies. Okay? It doesn't work that way. You're the one that doesn't smile anymore. You're the one that has the sour attitude and has trouble getting along with everybody. For God's sake and for Christ's sake, you need to let that go. Let me say this now when it comes to relationships. Most perceived problems in a church or anywhere would be solved if just they would just go to each other and just talk. Most of them. There's a few that it may not. But the longer you let it go, the more it festers. And if someone would just step up and go talk to the other person, try to work it out, you know, they probably feel the same way you do. But instead, we let it fester. And then when we let it fester, bitterness creeps in. Then we see things that aren't there. It's like he talks about in Hebrews when he talks about we get bitter sometimes because we don't accept God's chastisement. And he uses a word in there which means to like look out of a dirty window. When you look out of a dirty window, you don't see things the way they are. You ever notice, like, sometimes in your car, after a few days, there'll be a haze on the window. And if you're in the sun, it's hard seeing. That's what happens. Now you see things that aren't there. Now you're going to start judging everybody the same way you're judging that person. Get it right. It's not worth it. And let me just say this. It's not worth it. Let's just take the other person out of it. Yes, they need you to forgive them. Well, let's just take them out of it. It's good for you. It's good for you. A lot of problems. If you have something against your brother, you just go and talk to them. There's an issue there. Get it right. Go in a spirit of meekness. Don't hold on to it. Well, what if I go to a person? And by the way, sometimes you need to ask them for forgiveness if you've done something. Usually in the thing, there's usually both of you guilty. Can get forgiveness for your part. You say, well, what if they won't accept it? You've done your part. I have people all the time come in there, the relationship, and it's like, I'm doing all I can and this and that, and I just don't feel like it works anymore. It's like, listen, if this thing doesn't work out or it never gets restored, you want to be able with a clear conscience to say, Lord, I've done everything I can. And if they don't accept it, that's on them. But you have the right spirit. That's hard. It's better to suffer loss with a brother for his sake. I remember a guy several years ago when I had my little office over here. The guy came in, and I called him in to talk to him about something, to help out with something. And he goes, you know, I need to apologize to you. And I'm like, why? He goes, I have something in my heart against you. I'm like, really? And then he sat in my office for 25 minutes and ripped me. And I'm thinking, where's the apology? I thought he said he was here to apologize. And all he did was like, he just let me have it for 25 minutes. Now I was edified. And I'm like, and some of the stuff was really off the wall. He said that publicly I had humiliated Brother Pichardo's daughter over at Monterey Park. And I went and talked to, I think I talked to Brother Pichardo first. I talked to Pastor. I said, you were there. Did I humiliate? He goes, I don't even know what you're talking about. I asked Brother Pichardo, ask your daughter. He's like, no. She says that you didn't do anything. But you know what? I wasn't going to argue with the guy. I let him vent. He felt better. He walked out. I was suicidal. It's like, I just sat there shaking my head like, I thought there was an apology coming. You know what? Listen, if he feels that way, I'm not going to argue with him about it. I'm not going to argue with him about it. I'm sorry for anything he feels I did to him. The last thing I want to do is for him to go out and continue having ill will because I reacted wrong. And it was hard, too. And as I mentioned before, forgiveness is not just helpful for the other person. Really, it's helpful for us. Amen. It affects our life. Look at Matthew chapter 11 there. It'll affect our spiritual life if we're not careful. It says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So we're going to come to God and we're going to pray and say, Lord, forgive us our sins and forgive us. And he's like, hey, time out. Don't you have something against somebody else? Why don't you go get that taken care of? And then come back. He even says, if you bring your gift to the altar. Now, if that gift was, let's say, like an offering, I'd say, yeah, throw your offering in first. I'm not God. He said, bring your gift to the altar. He says, go get it right with another person. Well, what's that have to do with spirituality? It has everything to do with spirituality. Because you can't separate your relationship with people and your relationship with God. They coincide. Yes, sir. They're connected. Okay? And I'm not going to, last year's theme was the love the Lord thy God with all your heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. They go together. You can't separate them. I remember years ago I was with a Cambodian guy and he was coming to our church in the early days when we were a Cambodian church. I think we were out visiting or something, and we were driving down 10th Street, and it was a Cambodian auto shop. And this guy used to be assistant pastor at another church, and he wasn't in the ministry at that time. He was going to our church, and we're driving down there, and his accent, he looked at a guy that was working at the auto shop, and he goes, I hate that guy. Now, I thought sometimes they have a thick accent. You really don't hear what they're saying. I'm like, I'm sorry, excuse me? He goes, I hate that guy. I'm thinking, here's a guy that says he loves God, but he's sitting there telling me he hates that guy. I'm thinking there's a problem somewhere. Yeah. Okay? We can't do that. It kills us. So let's forgive one another. Yes, forgiveness is good for our sake, but it's also good for the other person's sake. All right, look at number 8. Submit one to another. Submit one to another. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Yeah. Submission is just a part of the Christian life. By the way, I have met many people, and they almost have this little thing like, well, it's just me and God, and I don't listen to anybody else. You know what that person is telling you? They don't want accountability. Okay? They don't want accountability. They don't want to be in a situation where they have to actually do something and someone's telling them what to do. Or somebody's leading them. I'm just used to being the boss. You'll never be a boss unless you've been an employee. By the way, most of you couldn't handle being a boss because we can't run ourselves. In life, all of us have areas where we're all going to have maybe some area where we're in charge. But we're all going to have areas where we're not in charge. See, when we're in charge somewhere, we want people that are under us, and I don't mean under us in that, it sounds bad, but you know what I'm saying. To follow what we're doing. We want our children to follow what we're doing, but yet in every other area, we're a rebel. We're a rebel. We just don't like to hear it. And especially in a church setting, there's different aspects, different ministries. And there'll be areas where someone's the leader and you're not the leader. Well, I don't like what they're doing. Well, give suggestions. Listen, pastor was very good in the area of when we would do things, of us to be able to express, at least for me, probably the other staff guys, to express how I really felt. He'd say, hey, well, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And there are times I thought, you know what? I totally wouldn't do that. There are times we would discuss, like, what do you see? I see this, and he'd see something, and sometimes he'd come back, well, I understand that, but I see this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, listen, when we're in the office, we would discuss it. When he made a decision, the decision was made. His decision was my decision. We discussed it. I got my point of view. He's like, hey, this is what we're doing. Like, let's go. I'm not talking about sin or anything. Well, you know, I went to the boss, and he didn't take my idea. Well, you don't know everything that's going on. You don't know, and so we need to submit one to another, especially in a church setting. What happens, all of us have areas where we have jurisdiction. In other words, that's part of our area. But we all like to stick our nose into areas that have nothing to do with us. By the way, if you like sports, you'll sit there the boys and I, we were catching the end of the USC game. I'm like, that coach doesn't know what he's doing. When they were passing the ball, they were going right down the field, and then they get inside the 50, and all of a sudden he runs four times, now they're going to punt. That guy doesn't know what he's doing. Can I just tell you something? I don't know nothing about football compared to that guy. Now, I do know the Cowboys stink. I know that. Sorry about that, Brother Rodriguez, but that's for you. They're right up there with the 49ers. Okay? That's how we all are. Well, if I was in charge, I'd do it this way. You don't know everything that's going on. We all want to get, look, we don't work in the nursery, but we want to tell the nursery workers how to do things. You know, I have an idea for your ministry. By the way, around here when you have an idea, we have a little saying. If you birth it, you bathe it. Hey, you know, we ought to do this in the church. I'm like, when are you going to start? Okay, that's your baby. You bathe it. I'm not bathing your baby. Okay? But we all want to get it. That's what causes conflicts. We have nothing to do. It's like going up to somebody and telling their kid what to do. We don't do that. I remember several years ago we were outside here, and I told my boys, you know, they were messing with the rocks. I'm like, hey, don't touch the rocks. And so I'm standing there talking to Daniel Jones, and one of his kid came and touched the rocks. I thought it was my son. I said, hey, I told you, quit. Oh, that's not my son. I'm like, hey, Daniel, how you doing? It's like, yeah. So I thought that was my son because I just told him, don't touch it. I'm not telling you what to do with your kids, all right? It's not our, look, if I see somebody's kid messing around in the store, I'm not going to tell them what to do. It's none of my business. They don't appreciate me overstepping my bounds. Isn't that all what we want to do? We want to come in and we want to tell everybody else what to do, but yet we won't listen to anything. But a lot of the new type of Christianity is nothing more but rebel Christianity. Let's just go ahead and lay that out there. We like these new breed of liberal pastors because they're macho. you know, and they're men, and they'll tell you what they think, and it's okay to, and we like, and I'll be honest with you, we're drawn, if you're a real man, you're drawn to that kind of thing. Doesn't make it right. Fact of the matter, most of those guys have no accountability, and they're off doing nonsense. But anyhow, we're chasing a horse there. All of us, listen, a church is like a team. We all have our roles. Let's just play our roles. Help each other out. Listen to our coach. Let's all play our roles. But there's areas where we need to make sure we listen. Now, what keeps us from listening? He mentions it. He says, do it in humility. You know why? We're all proud. Every single one of us, we struggle with pride. We think we know what's best. We know more than everybody else. That's how we are. Or, I'm the big shot now. That's pride. And you don't give a person that has pride, that struggles with it, you don't give them a leadership position. Because you know what they do? They treat the people under them like, who are they? I'm the big shot. And my brother-in-law, he's just one of these guys that's brilliant. Every employee's work, he's like, he runs the company. And he comes to our church every now and then. He's like, you know, he leads a lot of people. He's like, you know the hardest leadership? He goes, it's in the church because everybody's a volunteer. Right? Listen, if you serve in our church, you know what? Thank you. We realize you don't have to. And we're thankful that you would do that. There's some of you, your boss is at work, and you'll come and get in a ministry here, and you're listening to somebody else tell you, hey, let's do this and let's do that, and you're okay with that. Thanks. We're serving the Lord together. And let's be thankful for one another. Let's not have this attitude, well, you're just supposed to serve God. I know that. Okay, we'll say that up here, but when we're working together, let's be thankful. Look, everybody that sings, let's be thankful. Hey, pick up your kid from the nursery, your child from the nursery, be thankful for that. Okay, Sunday school work teachers, Sunday school worker, when someone drives your bus for you, bus captains, you ought to thank that guy. You ought to buy him a coffee every now and then. In fact, you ought to buy him lunch. Was that what I was supposed to say, Oscar? Okay, thanks. Dave says amen. Why? Oh, but they're getting rewards in heaven. You know what? We're working together. It's okay. I'm not a bus captain. You just drive the bus and be quiet. Guess what? You ain't going to have anybody driving your bus next week. They're going to go drive somebody else's bus. Oh, they don't love Jesus. No, they love Jesus. They don't like you. Okay, that's what that's all about. No, I'm being persecuted for the truth. Yeah, no, the truth is you're a dipstick. That's the truth, all right? But let's work together. Submit one to another. Now, there are specific areas that they mention. Husband and wives. Now, that one's not popular. Husbands, do what your wife says. Most of you already do that. By the way, husband is not a dictator. He's the bottom line decision maker. Okay? It's like, and you know, look. There'll be times, husbands, when your wife isn't happy with you. That's okay. That's because you're a man. You have to make the decision. Now, she'll follow it, but she's like, okay, well, guess what? That's good. At least you followed it and didn't stick a knife in your back. But, you know, they're not always going to like what you say. Your children aren't going to always like what you say. No. Oh, but so-and-so doesn't live here. It's not being mean. It's just like, you know what? You're asking, and I'm just telling you, we're not doing that. Okay, that's called leadership. Now, husbands, don't come home and say, sweetheart, I made a decision without asking you. I just bought a new boat. That's not going to fly. Well, it's a boat. It's not, it, of course, won't fly. It's probably going to sink to the bottom of the ocean, and you'll be sleeping on the couch. Parents and children. Children, do what your parents say. Okay? By the way, some of you kids, the reason your parents give you a hard time, especially those of you that come here and maybe your parents don't come to church, is because you don't act like a very good Christian at home. Oh, but you don't understand, I'm being persecuted for the faith. I'll go talk to your parents. That girl tell me that, you know, my parents don't want me to teach Sunday school anymore, and they're giving me a hard time because I'm a Christian. I'd say, okay, I'll talk to them. And sure enough, it's like, that kid is lazy. They come home, they don't help cook, they don't help clean, and they hide in their room. I don't care if she goes to church and teaches Sunday school. I'm just tired of her not being a part of the family. I went back to the girl and said, you're the problem. Okay? So, and then masters and servants, you could translate that out, bosses and stuff at work. Look, be a good employee. Just we all have areas where we need to know what our role is, know what we're supposed to be doing, and let's fulfill our role. Okay? You look at a good team and they have some superstar player. They're not going to win just because they have that superstar player. There's guys that come off the bench. Look, I like the Lakers. It's painful to say that now, but I like the Lakers. But you know, Robert Horry was not a big-time player. He was not I don't think he was ever an all-star. But you know what? If it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have won several of those titles. He had a role on the team just like several of those guys did. And everybody fulfilled their role. They didn't butt into everybody else's business. They did what they were supposed to do. They followed their leader, and it was successful. Let's work together, okay? And let's do what we can in our church to serve God, and let's know our place. And we better stop there for tonight. Let's pray.